Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
The Book of Ruth, one of the few books in the Bible named for a woman and an unlikely candidate, historically speaking. Ruth was a descendant of Moab. She was a Moabitess. And suffice it to say that the Moabites were despised. And God had specifically forbidden that the descendants be allowed into the sanctuary of the Lord for generations. So how in the world does this woman get a book named after her? Well, let's see. Ruth chapter 1. This is God's word. "In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband.' Then she kissed them. And they wept aloud and said to her, 'We will go back with you to your people.' But Naomi said, 'Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight, and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me.' At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung to her. 'Look,' said Naomi, 'your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her.' But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me.' When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. It helps if we know what the names mean. If you check the footnotes in your Bible, you will see that Naomi means pleasant. We don't think a lot about what names mean today, but we probably should, since the Bible gives a lot of emphasis to what names mean. Pleasant. She was pleasant. A pleasant person whose life was pleasant. And when things got tough, she and her husband, Elimelech, headed for a neighboring country where they heard that things were better. The grass is always greener on the other side of the hill, fence, whatever. Always seems like they've got it a little better over there. And so they went, trying to escape famine, but just temporarily. They went to live there, it says, for a while. They weren't going to put down roots. They weren't going to try and evangelize. They were just going to try and get a better crack at life. They just wanted, you know, to make a living, to have food to eat. That's not a lot to ask. A man and his wife and their two children. What could you say about your mom? Well, she was pleasant. Life was good. Yeah, we were in a different place. We were away from home. We were living among foreigners. But it's okay. We made a pretty good situation there until Dad died. Now what are we going to do? Well, the two sons had to step up and take care of Mom and themselves. All of a sudden, Dad wasn't there. Dad wasn't working. Dad didn't have his know-how, his contacts. Whatever they had learned from Dad, now they had to put into practice. And so these two young men decide, we've got to be the men now. So they married. Well, you know, they were young men. Mom can cook, Mom can sew, but we want wives. So they married. And there weren't any Israelite girls available. They were living in the land of Moab, so they married Moabite women. By the way, fellas, if you go to live in the land of Moab, that's what you'll find. Be careful. Someone asked me recently, how could so-and-so be marrying a non-Christian? Well, so-and-so has been immersed in non-Christian culture for years. Got it? So we had a little family going here. We got the two boys, their wives, and Mom. She's grieving the loss of her husband, but she's got her two sons and their wives. And they all got along pretty well. And then one of the sons died. And so did the other. Now you've got three single women and no visible means of support. Men were the ones who owned the property. Men were the ones who owned the businesses. Men were the employers and the principal employees. Women worked, they just didn't get paid. These were tough times. Now, Naomi had never intended to stay. She always thought she'd be going back home one of these days. She was just temporarily in the land of Moab. But she sure didn't want to go back home right now. Things were bad back home, and things were bad for her in the land of Moab. But then she heard, God has answered the cries of his people, and now they've got food again back home. And she thought, I'm going to go back to my relatives. I've got to find somebody who's going to take care of me. And this isn't working out so well in Moab. How would you feel if you were in a place and your husband died and then both of your sons? Wouldn't you hate that place? A place of sorrow, a place of regret. Wouldn't you think to yourself, we should never have come down here? Maybe these things wouldn't have happened to us if we'd stayed back there with the rest of God's people. I knew these people were pagans. We just thought this is what we had to do in order to have a job, in order to have a life, and now we've found death instead. I'm going back home. I'm going to go back to my people. I'm going to go back to my God. No indication that she'd been back to Israel to worship. No indication that she was extremely devout. She certainly felt like God had it out for her, and you can understand why. You lose your husband. You lose not one of your children, but both of them. She felt like God was mad at her. I went down there full, she said, but God has brought me back empty. Now the faith preachers would say, it wasn't God who did it to her, it was the devil. This is his work. But they overlook a bunch of scriptures. Like when, for example, God said to Moses, I am the one who makes a man blind or able to see, deaf or able to hear. God is the sovereign ruler of the universe, and the devil couldn't touch Job without God's permission and could only do what God said. So don't try and avoid the problem of pain by laying it all at the devil's feet as if God saying, oh, I didn't see that coming. God is sovereignly working out his plan. And you know what? Even though she didn't understand God's intention, even though she didn't understand God's heart, God did bring her back empty. And sometimes you and I have to be made empty as well.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, and he's holding out his on the way back, they start the journey, and as they're going along, they're on the road, okay? They've already left where they were living. They're on the road back to Judah, and Naomi starts to think. And she says, this is not going to work. You know, I'm thinking about what I'm going to say to my relatives back there. And what I need to say to them is, has anybody got a spare room? And that's going to be pretty hard if I've got a couple of other people traveling with me. All of a sudden, these daughters-in-law who had been a comfort to her are now kind of not so comfortable. Because how am I going to explain this and say, yeah, I need you because you're my relative to take care of me. And these people are married to my dead sons. A little awkward. So she turns to the daughters-in-law and she says, girls, I love you. You've been good to me. You've been like family to me. We've all gotten along, but I need to be unselfish here. I need to think about your future. Okay? And you need to think about your future, honey. I can't offer you anything. I have nothing to give. I'm empty. I mean, you know I don't have anything. You know our circumstances. You remember when the boys died. We've got nothing. I'm going back to my people, but you need to go back to your people. You need to go back to your people and start life over again. You're still young. You've got your looks. Just pinch your cheeks. Some young man will see you and think, ah, the woman of my dreams. They won't care that you're a widow. That's respectable. Widows get married as long as they're young and pretty. Go find a man. Start a new life. Have a future. Have a family. Have children. Don't worry about me. I'll be okay. And both of them, initially, both the daughters-in-law, initially say, no, 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 we'll go with you. But she says, listen, if I were to marry, and I'm too old to marry, but if I were to marry tonight, and I had sons, would you wait till they grow up? I'm going to be able to give you nothing. I won't be able to provide for you. Understand that financial security was in marriage. That's where you got what you needed. It wasn't just the emotional connection. It was the idea that you're married to a man, and he's the one who inherits, and he's the one who has a job, and he's the one who provides. So she says, please, go on back home to your people and to your gods. And Orpah says, okay. Gives her a kiss, walks away. But Ruth clings to her. Clings to her. And says, please stop begging me to leave. I'm not leaving. May God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates me from you. I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to die in the place where you die. I'm going to be buried there. I'm not, you came to Moab temporarily. I'm not going with you temporarily. I'm going to put my life in the place that you're going. I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to put down roots there. That's going to be my new home. I've heard you tell about your God. Your God is going to be my God. I'm not just connecting with you, mother-in-law. I'm connecting with your God, I believe. Orpah went back to her people and her gods. Ruth said, you are my people, and your God is my God. And so Naomi said, all right. They show up back in a little town called Bethlehem. You may have heard of Bethlehem. They show up in Bethlehem, and everybody's talking about him. That can't be Naomi. What happened? Naomi, is that you? She says, don't call me pleasant. My life is not pleasant. I am not pleasant. Call me bitter. God has made me bitter. That's what Mara means. Sad. But she says, don't even call me by my old name. I know I don't look like I used to. My life is bitter. I was full. God made me empty. His hand is against me. God's out to get me. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever had a series of circumstances where you start to feel like God is trying to make sure I know he's mad? I've had situations like that. I was wrong, actually, about what God was up to, but at the time it felt like that's what God was doing, was that he was mad at me. He wasn't. He was emptying me. Sometimes we need to be emptied. And so Naomi returned, accompanied by Ruth, the Moabitess. And they arrived in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Now, I'm tempted, of course, to tell you the whole story, all four chapters, but we can't do that today. What I want to tell you instead is that Naomi had no idea that her best days were ahead. Her best days were ahead of her. We would not know who she is if it weren't for the fact that these bad things were followed by good things. God had good things in store for her that were far more wonderful than anything she had experienced prior to going down to the land of Moab. As much as she remembered the old days as the good days, she was wrong. Her years of being a grandparent would be the best years of her life, even if she didn't understand it. Even if after the grandbaby was born, she couldn't imagine what was to come. Israel had only one king, and that was God. So the idea that her grandson would be part of the messianic line, it didn't occur to her, but it occurred to God. Because God is the sovereign king who arranges such things and takes the lowly and the oppressed and the empty and fills them with good things. God was already planning out and executing a beautiful plan that wouldn't just bless her, it would bless all the nations of the earth. And it would be impossible for those events to take place if these tragedies hadn't occurred. If there hadn't been a famine that sent Elimelech to the land of Moab, we wouldn't have the Messiah. If Elimelech and his sons hadn't died after the boys married Moabitess brides, how could God weave all that together? Oh, he's good at that. God is always working everything together for the good of those who love him who are the called according to his purpose. God's always got a plan. And God would take all those sad circumstances and weave it all into a beautiful, beautiful picture of his grace. I don't know what you're going through. I don't even know all the stuff that I'm going through. I know some of the stuff that bugs me, some of the stuff that concerns me, some of the stuff I'm hoping for, some of the stuff that I wish were different. But I don't know all the details. What I do know is that there is a God who is sovereignly working it all for good, and that by his grace, my best days are ahead. Well, just because that happened with Ruth doesn't mean it happens with everybody. Oh, no, no, please understand. I'm not suggesting that everybody's best days are ahead. Some people are going to discover what hell is. They think their life on this earth has been miserable. I hear nitwits say from time to time, I just believe that heaven and hell are in this life, and it's what you make it. If you make your life a hell, your life will be a hell. If you make your life a good place, then you can have heaven here on earth. Well, those people are going to hell. They're going to find out they were wrong. Because this earth's pleasures cannot compare to the joys of heaven. And this earth's pain cannot compare to the torments of hell. Furthermore, the pleasure and the pain in this life is temporary. But in eternity, it's forever and ever and ever. Now, I'm going to heaven. And when I get there, there will be no more goodbyes. There will be no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. My tears will be wiped away by my Father. Praise God. My best days are to come. I hope that you can say the same. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.